Hello, Madison. Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, a show about clean tech, renewable energy, and the ways this rapidly growing industry is changing how we think about power. The Wisconsin Energy Broadcast is a project of the Perpetual Notion Machine. Now, here's your host, Heather Allen and Nan Fay.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, a project of the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm here with my trusty co-host, Nan Fay.
Good evening.
And our producer extraordinaire, who is having a wonderful day. She just had some, what, pierogies?
Pierogies, yes, yeah. At Noosh. They're so good.
And it's her birthday.
Oh, thank you. Shout out.
Let's turn to our interview with Nick Hyla and get started learning about all the activities that are going on in a couple weeks. Thanks. Well, thank you, Nick Hyla, for being our guest tonight on the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast. We're excited to talk to you about the Energy Fair this year.
Thanks, Heather. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little history of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association for folks who may not be familiar with it?
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit organization. We were founded after a call to action was printed in a national publication called Home Power after the first Gulf War. And the editor of the magazine was motivated after that war to really call for local action around energy education and domestic energy production to stop this endless cycle of foreign war for oil. And so the call was for people across the United States to form public education events around energy and start to organize. And so a group of families here in central Wisconsin met in a local farm and decided to host the first event. And they had no idea how many people would show up, but lo and behold, more than 3,500 people showed up to the first event 30 years ago. And we've been hosting the event in around the third weekend in June every year since then, and this will be our 30th event. So we're in central Wisconsin, just outside of Stevens Point, in a small town called Custer, Wisconsin. And the MREA has definitely changed and evolved since then. A few years after the first Energy Fair, we started the Renew the Earth Institute, which was to train people to design, install, and maintain solar energy and wind energy systems. And so we've been leading training all throughout the Midwest for 28 years and have done, we train over 1,000 professionals in the solar industry a year now. And so we do a lot of that. And we've also over the last few years been helping jurisdictions prepare for solar market expansion and also helping municipalities, universities, schools, and hospitals invest in solar energy. And we still do a lot of public education, so we're really happy and excited to be hosting our 30th fair this year and celebrating 30 years of energy education in Wisconsin.
Well, congratulations. I bet a lot has changed in the last 30 years. You know, what's most remarkable to you about how far the renewable energy industry has come, or even just how people are savvier about energy and how their life relates to it?
Yeah, though maybe this is a good time for me to give a plug. So if any of your listeners would like to read about how things have changed the last 30 years, they can go to www.theenergyfair.org. That's the energyfair.org. And we just posted our fifth interview with people looking at how things have changed over 50 years. So we've looked at the solar energy market and wind energy market, construction, electric transportation, and sustainable farm and garden. And I just finished, and maybe I'll reference this, I just finished reading our fifth interview, which is with the lady Sandrine Mumbenga. She's from the Democratic Republic of Congo, but she last year received U.S. Engineering Award, Engineer of the Year, and she's been working on electric transportation and pioneering some amazing technologies with batteries. And her interview is really interesting when it comes to transportation. And I would say, you know, one of the things that has impressed me just recently is very, very quick and expansive adoption of electric vehicles. We've been hosting a clean transportation show at the fair since before I've been involved 15 years ago. And it had always been kind of, you know, the DIY, do-it-yourself crowd and all these kind of like small and kind of cutting-edge vehicles. And now every major auto manufacturer has a car at the fair. You know, there are over 150 electric vehicles that will come through the Clean Transportation Show. And we've built the infrastructure to charge these vehicles throughout the year. So we have one of the first, I believe the first in Wisconsin, not a DC fast charger that charges all vehicles. We have a whole suite of workplace chargers. So I think that's been really exciting. But I guess just for context, when it comes to solar energy, the first fair, there was an exhibitor there selling solar energy systems, and I talked to the gentleman recently and asked what the installed cost was for solar energy at the first fair, and he said it was about close to $80 a watt installed, and today the average system installed is about $2.50 a watt. And so the absolute and dramatic price declines in solar technology over the last 30 years have really influenced the energy market all across the country.
Yeah, there's not a lot of products where you hear that kind of change in price over 30 years. It's very rarely, you know, reduced by, you know, 30 or 40 times. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Nan, do you want to talk about the new development in your life?
Yeah, I'm going to be taking a bit of a sabbatical from the show because I took on a large responsibility for the city of Madison. Our new mayor asked me to serve as the interim director of the Department of Planning, Community, and Economic Development until a permanent hire can be found. So for the next 6 months to a year, perhaps, I'll be heading up the largest department, I think, in the city's government, and it's on topics that I've spent a lot of time volunteering on over the years. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to work with a lot of great city staff that I've known for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we know the city is very lucky to have you, but we at PNM will miss you while you're away for a little bit, but hopefully we'll get you right back to the show really soon. It's hard to believe we've been doing this show for 18 months.
I agree. And I will miss it for the time that I'm away, but I will be listening.
That's right. So now back to our show on the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair. So the fair, if you were to describe the fair, you've got a lot going on. You've got keynote speakers. You've got all these great bands. I'm looking at a list that includes the People Brothers Band, Dead Horses. I think you pronounce it Cache MKE, which is a salsa band. And you've got Baba Ganou, which sounds really fun. You've got keynote speakers. I think I just mentioned workshops. Full disclosure, I'm doing a workshop with a farmer from Iowa County who's going to be leasing his land for the big solar project, and then you've got dozens of workshops on specific.
I'm looking forward to that workshop.
I think that's going to be a good one. And you've got, you know, just vendors, people camping for the weekend. So the vibe is sort of, you know, is it sort of like county fair meets energy specialists meets car show? How would you describe it? And then music festival.
Yeah, I would say it's, you know, if you're out there and you want to do something positive for your community or positive for your household or positive for your budget as it relates to sustainability, you want to meet like-minded people in the kind of a casual environment and just be exposed to all of the great things that are happening, then the Energy Fair is the place to be. I've met the most wonderful people of my life at the Energy Fair. I started volunteering there more than 15 years ago at the Energy Fair, and now I'm the executive director of the organization. So it definitely changed my life, and most people, we have over 300 people, for example, throughout the weekend that just volunteer their time to put the event on, and all of the presenters volunteer their time. Heather, you're coming down, you're not getting paid, and you're doing this workshop to meet people and to network.
Right.
And so over the years, you know, as we've been doing this, you know, the technologies you know, wind and solar and sustainable organic farming and, you know, all of these cultural practices, they become, you know, much more mainstream. And so you'll see at the fair, it is this hybrid of professional education. If you want to learn the latest energy storage technologies, solar plus storage, you can get that at the fair. And if you want to learn seed saving and organic gardening methods, you can get that at the fair also. If you want to see the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources demonstrate how to cook and prepare wild-caught food, you can see that. If you want to get your water tested from your home to see levels of nitrates or hardness or what have you, you can do that at the fair. So if you want to kick the tires on a brand new Tesla, you can do that, but don't let the owner see you. and so it really is kind of this, it's a good description, you know, this county fair vibe. It's outside, so it's like a big tent city in our on our beautiful campus in central Wisconsin. It's at our demonstration site. We have 18 working renewable energy systems and training systems active on the site. And I hear the weather is guaranteed to be absolutely gorgeous also.
Oh, so
we have that going for us.
That's good. That's good, because I think we all need a little sunshine and outside time. That's great. So it's kind of been a rough year. I'd like to ask you a little bit about the speakers. You've got these keynote speakers. You've got Kurt Meine, professor from UW Madison, chatting with the crowd. What's he going to talk about?
Yeah, so Kurt, we have a partnership this year with the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and you know that arises from two things. You know, one is that throughout Wisconsin we have this trend that's basically parcelization. That's what they call it. You know, these larger tracts of land are being bought up by small, like, tenant, you know, summer tenant residents that, you know, basically have vacation homes or hunting parcels. And we at the MREA, we receive a lot of requests about, hey, I want, you know, to put solar on my cabin, or I'd like to do some renewable energy stuff. And it really has been, for us, a real opportunity to talk about land management and conservation and water quality. And that's also paired with, Heather, something that you're working very closely on, which is some of the larger scale renewable energy deployment and its integration with the landscape.
Right.
And so, Kurt, so we've partnered with the Aldo Leopold Foundation for the last 3 years to really start bringing more land conservation and management topics into Energy Fair. And so Kurt will start talking about, I think his keynote will be really interesting. He's a really, really intelligent and has really thoughtful and really carries forward this kind of Leopold tradition. And so I think that, you know, this concept of, you know, what is the future of Wisconsin land management look like? What opportunities are present with renewable energy, and how can all of these individual landowners contribute to kind of the greater whole of a sustainable Wisconsin landscape? So
many good speakers. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see everybody. You also have Rosa Alicia Clemente, former VP candidate for the Green Party in 2008, and an organizer in a lot of different fronts, both environmental and social justice.
She is particularly important to us this year, because as many of your listeners are probably aware, you know, well, she's Puerto Rican, so she's Afro-Puerto Rican, and she has done a lot of kind of organizing around Puerto Rican statehood and or independence. And you know, we have a project in Puerto Rico with the city of Madison,
right,
and the jurisdiction down there, Toa Baja, which is a suburb of San Juan. And we trained just recently 14 solar installers and installed a solar PV system down there, and have identified 5 more sites where the city would like some resilience and solar plus storage. And we're bringing up a contingent from Puerto Rico this year to the fair.
Oh my gosh.
And we'll be fundraising for further efforts down there. And that's why we have a Latin band and salsa dancing.
Oh, it's all coming together.
And so Rosa will talk about you know, the issues in Puerto Rico, and they have real opportunity to deploy solar. They have one of the most advanced policies right now just established around microgrids. They have 2 megawatt net metering.
Oh, wow.
And they have very high power prices because they're an island and they're just shipping in all of their fuel to run their power plants. And so there's just a ton of opportunity for them to be a leader in the Caribbean in solar deployment to clean their energy grid. So we know from our experience in the Midwest that a trained workforce can be a limitation in a market, and that's really something that we focused on, and we see the same in Puerto Rico, and we're really interested in leveraging our expertise. So we have a partnership with 4 technical colleges in Wisconsin, Madison College is being one of them, Chippewa Valley Tech, Mid-State Tech, and then also Northeast Wisconsin Tech. And so we're ready to leverage their expertise and their students and our expertise and our network and an industry network to help train the next generation of solar installers in Puerto Rico. So we're really excited about that one in particular.
Oh, that's really exciting. I knew about some of those projects separately, but when you put it all together like that, it's a really, really unique and holistic partnership. So I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah,
so,
that's all happening on Saturday night. So
okay.
That's Saturday, June 22nd. And so we'll talk about the project, I think, at about 5 o'clock, and then Rosa will talk, and then we have our benefit dinner, and we'll be fundraising, and then we'll salsa dance to a Puerto Rican band coming up from Milwaukee.
All right. That sounds fantastic. That's fantastic. Okay. Well,
we can't not talk about Naomi Oreskes. She's probably our headline keynote speaker.
Yes.
And she is, I'm really looking forward to her talk. You know, the thing that really inspired me with her is that she's a historian, and one of the things that she's known for is that she kind of cracked the case on how long Exxon has known about climate change.
Oh, really?
And and it's really curious. She's a bit of a persona non grata in that industry, but she also then proceeded to write a book, which has a subsequent documentary called The Merchants of Doubt,
right,
that looks at how the energy industry adopted the same PR firms and tactics as the tobacco industry to deny and deflect around climate change. And so I'm really looking forward to her presentation, and because that's always an interest of mine.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
The nefarious activities of those with power.
I also, you know, that's an interest of many Wart listeners. But, I was just looking at, she did an interesting TED Talk where she talked about, you know, why people don't necessarily believe scientists, and how do you break through to convince people of facts they may be predisposed to not believe. So I think she has a lot to say, and I am definitely looking forward to her presentation as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Heather. I'm glad you bring that up. You know, in the Merchants of Doubt documentary, there's this interesting scenario where the founder of Reason magazine, they started a conference. I can't remember the name of the conference right now, but he talks at the conference every year, and you know, he's a skeptic, so he investigates issues like vaccinations, etc., and dispels public beliefs. So he came to the global climate change movement as a skeptic and started to publish kind of skeptical articles in Reason magazine, and then looked at all of the research and became a convert. And he was like, you know, listen, I do this professionally. I'm a professional skeptic. I came at this as a skeptic. And, you know, I have researched this issue, and I am 100% convinced that, you know, this is real and we need to take it seriously. And he was speaking at his own conference, and there were people booing him, you know, people that are big supporters of him that are just like, how did you get bought out? Who bought you out?
No kidding.
And so I think that's, you know, that's a really interesting topic. We don't, typically at the MREA, we really don't talk about climate change because it is such a politicized issue. We obviously know that it's a challenge. I mean, we believe in science, and we know that clean energy, and have known that clean energy is a solution to that. But we do not lead any conversation with the idea of climate change for those very reasons.
Right, right, because it can turn people off right away from the multiple benefits of renewable energy. Well, excellent. Well, I know there's a lot more to talk about, but I would just encourage people to visit your website. That's theenergyfair.org and learn more about this amazing weekend. That does it start on Thursday night, or is it...
Thursday night is our networking dinner. People are welcome. That's usually for all of the speakers and sponsors and exhibitors and our staff. We host a dinner, and we have, everybody's pretty tired from setting up, but that's when, everything should be clean and beautiful and ready to go. But gates open for the public 9 a.m. on Friday, June 21st. And one of the things we love about the Energy Fair is that if you volunteer 2 hours a day, it's absolutely and totally free.